Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson, Walker Social Transformation. I'm broadcasting live from the gatehouse here at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, Ontario, or Silver Cove, as I always say. Welcome. I apologize for not being here for the last few weeks, but there's been a lot of things happening. And one of the big things, actually, which is very, very important and sad, is that we had a bit of a flood here at the house, and it kind of shut things down for a while, and it still has shut things down for a while. So all of our programs are being held over at the Humber College. It hasn't really stopped us from doing what we're doing. It slowed us down a little bit, but it hasn't stopped us. So we're here to help whoever needs to be helped. So again, welcome. Thank you for joining me tonight. I do have a lot of things I'd like to talk about. I'm not going to focus on any one particular thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about our conference coming up, a little bit about the partners group I'm going to be doing on the weekend, and some personal affirmations and experiences I went through, kind of related to child abuse, how it affected me and how I react. So I'm kind of be a little bit all over the map here, but not too crazy all over the map. But I have some things I want to talk about, and I would really believe that, I hope that it will be helpful to others that are out there as well, with my experiences that I've been through in this last little while. But anyway, folks, welcome. I really won't be talking, I don't think I'll be talking anything that's going to be too triggering, but please keep in mind that if you feel triggered and you need to talk to somebody, call a helpline. Like, for example, if you're in the Toronto area here, I got my list right here in front of me, or you can call RAIN, which is in Canada, the U.S. I don't have the number here in front of me, but if you're in the Toronto area, greater Toronto area, there's a Square Scene Center downtown Toronto at 416-929-5200. We also have, if you're in the West End, which we have the Peel Mobile Crisis at 905-278-9036. And also, if you're even further east in the Colborne area, or Durham, you can call 1-800-742-1890. And then we have, there's also a distress line here in Toronto as well at 416-408-4357. And I apologize, I don't have the number for RAIN here in front of me, but there is an 800 number, both for Canada and the U.S., that you can call if you feel triggered anyway and you need to talk to someone. So please do if you feel necessary to talk to somebody. So like I was saying, I do have some things I'd like to talk about tonight. One of them being our conference, which I've talked about already before. I'll talk about a little bit more again, and I'll probably talk about a little more even more next week on a little bit more depth. So I'm just basically, I'll talk about our guests, and I don't have their bios all here in front of me, but I'll do it more in depth probably next week or the week after, closer to the date, because the date of our conference will be Friday, April 29th, and from 9 a.m. registration till 4 p.m. This will be the 6th annual conference, my 5th annual conference being there. Grateful to be there as well. And yours truly will be speaking there as well. And for myself, I will be speaking basically about what I'm doing here as far as my webcast show that I'm doing. And I'll be talking about multimedia, sort of what level I'm doing, or rather, what I'm doing as far as multimedia is concerned. Like, I'm on Twitter quite a bit, so, and I often make reference to that as well. So what I will be talking about when I'm at the conference is I'll be talking about how over a period of about 2 years, I have over 2,000 followers, and I would say probably 70 to 80% of them are, they have some sort of affiliation, either they're survivors themselves or they're therapists, or their advocates. And I also cannot put this aside as well. The thing is with abuse, it covers a really, really big field. And you can kind of go all over the place with that. I mean, I can include domestic violence in that as well. I could throw that in there as well. There's many, many things. Bullying, for example. There's many different facets you can go off. But primarily, what I talk about is childhood sexual abuse. Not that the gatehouse does here. That's what we do here. We give support on a peer level, and only on a peer level. And mind you, it is a form of CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, but we're not therapists. We don't have any therapists on staff, but we what we do on a peer level, we basically plant seeds in our participants that come in, if I can put it in that term, and share our own experiences of our own recovery as facilitators, and we pass it down, and we have, it's all structured, as I've talked about many, many times in the past, and we have certain themes that we talk about from week to week to week, whether it be the men's program or the women's program, which being a 15-week program, and then we also have the Phase 2 program, which is 16 weeks. And again, we try, it's structured, and we have things we want to talk about. And I know I've talked about both programs before, but that's kind of where I'm coming from. So my point being is, at the Gatehouse here, we focus on childhood sex abuse. But on Twitter, as I was talking about, the people who are following me and I'm following are kind of, I'd say, all over the place. And anything kind of dealing with basically comes from some form of abuse, whether it be through childhood sexual abuse or domestic violence, bullying, as some examples, like being key examples, if I may point out as well. So these things are very, very important. And I really do love Twitter for what it does. I mean, granted, you're only limited to 140 characters for typing anything, which is really makes it really, really, sometimes really hard to get things, or rather your point across when you have to type it out and send it out a few times in order just to get it done. So it slows it down, unlike Facebook, where you can go on there and you can, literally you can write a book if you wanted to and get it out there in one shot. But anyway, Twitter has been a really, really good friend to me. Granted, I should point out that I have been locked out for the last couple of weeks, but I am back now. And I guess somebody had hacked my account, and I really do commend Twitter support for helping me out and understanding of where I'm coming from, what I'm doing, what I advocate about, and most importantly, I'm not out there trying to hurt anybody or anything like that. I'm just passing on the message of what I do and supporting others doing the exact same thing. So I'm just exercising my free right to express myself in that manner that's here in front of me for everybody. So I'm grateful that I'm back on. And but anyway, that's one thing I'll be talking about. And I have there's all kinds of support, which I've talked about through Twitter. Depending where you are, whether it be you're depending what country, for example, or what city, wherever you are, there's limited support for whatever experience you may be going through. So that's the beautiful thing about multimedia is you can go on there and you can get support, especially if you can't pick up your phone and go to your nearest town or place and get the support you're looking for. At least now you can go online or through the World Wide Web and you can get some kind of support whereas, let's say, 10 years ago or even longer, even 15 years ago, there was little or none, basically mostly none, I would say. But I know in the last 10 years, the way I've seen it grow, it's grown exponentially to great levels now, and you can find just about anything you're looking for as far as support is concerned online, whether it be via through Twitter or Facebook, for example. There's all kinds of support groups out there, provided you have, obviously, you've got to have internet access as well. But nevertheless, it is there for you. And as before, there was nothing. And another thing I'm going to be talking about at the conference as well, I do a partners group. And luckily for me, I have Jay, Caroline, and of course, Maria. This week, this coming Saturday, which we'll be doing a group, and looking forward to that very, very much so. And let me point out something very, very clear. I want you to understand. I am no expert on relationships. I'm being very, very clear about that. When we go there, we're not there to give therapy about your relationship or anything like that. Let me be a little bit more specific on what we talk about. So basically, what happens is that when the partners come in, and let me also point out to you, and I know I've talked about this before, but I love talking about it again, but just because your partner comes in doesn't mean you're married or anything like that. It could be just your best friend as well. And the idea of bringing your partner in, is that typically they're a non-survivor. So by this, and if they've been with you for a long time, and they've seen you through your experiences or through your growth, your personal growth, by coming to the Gatehouse and seeing these changes in you, and you're not really understanding why, or rather what's happening, and you're not understanding, some of the things this person might have done before, might have been bad or odd or whatever, and you're not understanding the growth that they're doing and they're changing. And these changes, whether they be subtle or really, really abrupt, who knows, depends on the individual and depends where they are as far as they are personally, their mindset. So by bringing your partner in or your friend, whoever it may be, we help them, or the non-survivor, as I pointed out, we help them understand the changes you're going through. And they sure, I'm sure they, you know, a lot, the group that I've done and the non-survivor part, they always have questions. You know, they have questions about your growth and your changes that you're going through. And sometimes they just need to talk about their experiences of what they went through being with you. And that is so very, very important, because a lot of non-survivors out there that are with someone who's been through this experience, and they really have no one to talk to that understands the process that you're going through, your growth, good and bad, all together at the same time, all raveled up there in the one, and they need to understand. And some empathy and understanding needs to go towards non-survivors. So this is, to me, is very, very important. If you're in a relationship, whether it be intimate or non, or your best friend, whatever, and this person's been with you through your thick and thin, and they don't understand what's going on, then I would highly recommend coming and checking this out. I work with, I volunteer with a great group of people here, so we'd be able to help you in a lot of ways where others might not be able to help you out. And like, let me be very, very clear. Like I said, right from the beginning of the program, you're not therapists. It's all peer support, okay? So the great thing, the beauty of peer support is experience. And experience, to me, is everything. You know, if you have the experience, you've been through it, then to me, personally, myself, I would rather listen and talk to this person. I would follow everything they say, but I would certainly listen, and I would at least have an understanding that, okay, you went through this, and this is what happened to you. Forgive me for not being a little bit vague here on the experience, whatever, but I'm just saying like it is. So, but like I say, it is so vitally important for your partner to understand your growth and through your good and bad, to help you through the process that we're going. It actually helps them understand, you know, and understand some of the things that you've gone through, and who would be better to explain it than that someone's been through, right? That's my opinion in regards to what's going to happen. And actually, it's not even so much that, it's for this is actually what happened. And it's a beautiful thing to see the non-survivor come in there. We talk about whatever issue is going on that's happened, or their experience that they've gone through, whatever they might be feeling, and see them leave there with at least a better understanding of what's going on in regards to their partner. And to me, that's so, so important, because, I've seen it end up in disaster sometimes. What I mean by end up in disaster, meaning that both parties split and go their own separate ways and not even understand, both sides not even understanding why they've split to begin with. All those that they've been upset, there's something that's gone on, whatever the reason may be, and they just split. And sometimes when partners come to this too, they still end up splitting anyway, but at least when they do that, they have a better understanding of the questions they have going through their head. So to me, this is vitally important, and it's really important for the growth of the non-survivor and the survivor, so they have some kind of an understanding of what's going on. But anyway, that is what I will be talking about at the conference. And, I really look forward to it. I'm really, really, really honored that they've given me this opportunity to do so. I don't very often get a chance to talk to the level that I'm going to on that day, and I'm grateful that the Gatehouse has given me this opportunity to do so. So I will embrace it to the fullest. And hopefully, hopefully people that are there will get something out of what I'm talking about and take back with them, and hopefully they will be able to use it in any way or fashion that they see fit to help them. So that's kind of what I'm getting after. And this multimedia thing, as far as Twitter is concerned and Facebook is concerned, I really, really think they're really important. And I really, I'm going to mention a lot of different chats that are available at the conference that where people can go online. And, you know, the beauty of this is that you can go online and you don't even have to give your identity. And people are going to, there's people out there that care. There's people out there that have empathy. And there's people out there that want to listen. Like, for example, last night I went on this chat. Actually, I went on a couple of chats last night. And one of them was called Survivor Steps. And this has been put together by, Bobby and Athena. They have Sexual Abuse Chat, which is on Mondays and Tuesdays on Twitter. And they also have links through Facebook as well. And I'm lost for words here. But Athena Mollberg is the name, and Bobby Parrish. So if you're going to Twitter and you type in those names, and you would find them either on Twitter or on Facebook. And Bobby Parrish, she is a qualified therapist and also a survivor. Both of her survivors, by the way. And there's another lady I should mention here as well, which is very, very important, is Rachel Thompson. And she's also she's an author and a survivor as well. And with her and Bobby Parrish, who originally started Sexual Abuse Chat on Twitter, and now has grown exponentially. It happens on Mondays over in the UK, along with a lady by the name of the name is slipping me there, but it'll come to me. And also, they do a blog chat through Roku and YouTube on Mondays, where it's a video chat, and then they have, it's all structured, just kind of like I talked about here with the Gatehouse. They all talk about certain things regarding, for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And there'll be certain topics of certain things which we get through. Like I say, it's very structured, kind of like, very similar to like what we do here at the house. Granted, we are not the same, but it's along the same principles. They talk about a lot of the same things that we would talk about as well. Granted, it is their own flavor and their own colors of what they're doing, and all I know is that they've helped a lot of people, and I highly encourage you that if you have no help and you don't want to be, whether you want to be identified or you don't want to be identified, whether it be through via Twitter or through Facebook, you go on there, and they can help you out quite a bit. And again, there's no judgment, like coming to the house here as well, the Gatehouse, there's no judgment. You go there and say what's going on with yourself, and you'll have people that will understand and have empathy. And you know, whether we're not here to give you advice, but we can give you our own affirmations of what we've done to help ourselves move along, and maybe you'll get something out of that and do the same thing for yourself. And it's the same thing with the ladies I was talking about on Twitter and Facebook. And another thing I was another chat I was on last night was called PST Chat. Post-traumatic stress chat, and that I found to be very, very helpful as well. And last night they were talking about, well, if you have post-traumatic stress, and let me be very clear, post-traumatic stress affects everybody, not just people in the military, frontline workers, but anybody who's experienced any sort of trauma at whatever level, and it affects everybody differently. But anyway, this is another great form of support that you can go online, and it doesn't cost you a dime, and you can talk to your heart's content, and sometimes you'll get advice, and sometimes you'll get, as I've stated, like for myself, my own affirmation or my own experience, what I've done, to try to change whatever I'm thinking and feeling, so I don't stay there in that bad place, so I can move on. So visiting other people, what they do and how they change has been a big factor in helping me find my voice. You know, aside from a bunch of other things, such as telling my story to Deb Mayberry, in Unlock the Door Beyond Sexual Abuse, for example. Public speaking, for example. You know, not that I'm getting up and I'm telling my story every time I go up and I public speak, but I'm getting up there and I'm talking about whether it be a certain experience or a certain topic related to childhood sexual abuse, to me, is a way of finding my voice, and as for others as well. So to me, that's how I got my voice, was, you know, aside from coming to the Gatehouse, being most important, coming here and being able to talk about my stuff, no judgment, no shame, and just being able to do it, and as where I had no other place to do it. So multimedia, to me, is a great way to go on there, especially if you don't want to be known who you are. So it's important to, to try to find these things. It's all, and it's self-help too, right? It's not like somebody's taking me by the hand. I have to come to here and I have to basically do this on my own, right? And if I don't take it upon myself to try to help myself, then I'm not going to change. And thanks, by the way, Jack. I did not forget about reveal the heels. It's posting survivor steps, which I was talking about. See, this is what I mean about multimedia and Twitter, for example. Now, I have one of my fellow survivors from the U.S. that's tweeting me and telling me, Jack, not to forget to mention about the reveal the heel, which was survivor steps, which I was talking about just previously about last night. And what we were talking about last night was about her voice. And that's kind of what I'm talking about now. I'm exercising my voice on the level of, well, I'm lucky. Like, I'm here on the internet, and basically the world can hear me. And it's your choice. You can hear me or shut me off. You know, that's the beauty of it. It's your choice in the end. But going back to what I'm talking about, well, finding my voice, and that's exactly what we were talking about last night. And this is what, what I worked so hard to do, is to find my voice where I can stand up for myself and not think so badly towards myself. And you see, this is the beauty of, I can even say that multimedia has helped me in that fashion as well, helped me find my voice. Never mind tell my story in a book, and I did a documentary, and I did some blogs. I'm very, very grateful and fortunate that I've had this opportunity to grow in the manner that I have, where I've been able to use my voice to the level that I have. So to me, it's nothing but, well, it's definitely uphill. There's no doubt about that, but uphill in a positive way. So if I've fallen backwards at any time or point, trust me when I say that I've fallen back, it's only been for a very, very short little distance, and I basically picked myself up, and I moved right, kept myself going. So, the healing thing is not an easy thing to do, and it's not an easy thing to talk about. But this is why I love multimedia, like I do now, although probably 4 years ago or 3 years ago, even 3 years ago, I wouldn't have said that. I pretty much swore off of it, especially at Facebook, and I've talked about this before previously, but I didn't like what was involved with that. I didn't like, in fact, I have 300 friends, but out of those 300 friends, none of them really actually even talk to me. I could say the same. You could say the same thing about Twitter as well, but again, most of the people I follow on Twitter and even on Facebook, and I need to limit myself what I do on Facebook. I only do certain things, but I don't go in there and I don't talk about what I cook for dinner. I don't talk about where I'm going. That's just not me. I don't need to do that. People do that, well, that's where they're coming from. Good for them. That's what they want to do. It makes them, whatever it makes them feel, if it makes them feel good, go for it. I mean, you're no judgment for me, but that's not for me, is my point. But using Twitter as a tool as I have, and the level that I am for advocating childhood sexual abuse and domestic violence, for example, which I do all the time, I think it's been a really, really good thing. And I've made some really, really good connections, not just here in Canada, but abroad. In the United States, United Kingdom, I'm not just talking about England, I'm talking about Australia, New Zealand, Scotland, for example, other Commonwealth countries as well, into Africa, some Caribbean nations I can't say Cuba, but hopefully when now things are changing, that we'll be talking with some people from Cuba as well, but such as Bahamas, Jamaica, for example. I've made connections basically globally. And if I hadn't had this form of a connection through the internet like I have, I would have never been able to do this, not to the level that I have, other than going on TV, which would have been impossible because I would have needed mega, mega millions of dollars to do that, to get any kind of airspace to do that. And then not only that, but internationally, right? So not every country would be willing to do what I talk about. Most people are still in the Stone Ages in regards to childhood sexual abuse and still think that it's okay in society to even do it, to do the violating that they do, and nobody talks about it. But that's why I'm here talking about it, because I don't think it's all right, and I don't think that should be done to anybody, period. I don't care where you're from, whether you're from this planet or from another planet. You know, that's just where I'm coming from. But you see, this is what I mean about North Korea, why I want to talk about it. See, all these things, you know, these things that, you know, 10 years ago would not be in the mainstream, are in the mainstream now. Things like this, people wouldn't talk about, but now can talk about it. Whether you want to talk about it, I mean, I'm very, very transparent who I am. I say who I am, my name, where I'm broadcasting from, what I'm doing, you know, because it's important. I want people to know who I am. Not so much that I'm trying to, you know, to be on some kind of a plateau, but I want people to know who I am and recognize me for being the person that's not afraid to talk about it. And that's what I'm after. I don't want no bells and whistles and nothing. I'm not after nothing. I that's not the only thing I'm after. What I want is for you out there to be aware, the ignorant people too as well, not to sweep this under the carpet anymore, to deal with it on a much greater level than it's ever been dealt with. Not just in when I talk about it in society, I'm talking about at all levels, from the government right into the schooling, all these levels. Like, it's not okay. That's my point. So with multimedia, we can talk about this stuff on a great level, greater levels than you could, whether it be through TV or even through radio, you know, where people are, you know, you only talk about certain things, you know, never mind the swearing and the cussing. I don't come on here and swear and cuss, but as an example, right? You know, there are certain topics you can talk about and you can't talk about. Well, on the internet, you can talk just about anything. It is basically uncensored for the most part. I'm very transparent about who I am, what I talk about. I got off track a little bit, but nothing that doesn't pertain to what I'm talking about here to begin with in the first place. And nevertheless, you know, I'm getting my point out. And you can agree to disagree or agree, and there's no harm done, right? And that's important. You know, again, it falls back to me exercising my voice. My right as a human being, okay, and trust me, when I say this, it took me a long time to even admit or to think that I was any kind of a human being, thanks to the Gatehouse and helping me along to realize that I am a human being. But from that perspective, to come on here and talk about it on the level that I am and not have to worry about basically anything, any ramification. Well, if I say something stupid or against somebody and somebody comes back at me, then I deserve it. There's no question about that. But for me, advocating about childhood sexual abuse, this is the perfect platform to do it. And to me, in the last, I'm going on 2 years in May that I've been doing this. I've been very, very grateful. I didn't even know what to expect when I started doing this. So it'll be 2 years in May that I've been doing this, and I've had about 2,000 listeners. So in the grand scheme of things, that may not seem like a lot to a lot of people, considering how many people are on this earth, you know. There's 35 million people in this country alone that I'm living in. There's 350, almost 400 million people in the U.S. The U.K. is over 100 million people, for example, other countries. So when I say 2,000, to me, that's a lot. So out of those 2,000 listens that I might have helped 100 people or 10 people, even one person, to me, that's all that matters. Because what I'm talking about is it's not an easy thing to talk about by anybody, or even to listen to by anybody who's never been through experience or even understands this at any level whatsoever. So by coming on to multimedia and doing what I'm doing, to me, this is the cat's meow or the cat's ass. Call it whatever the heck you want. But the point being is, I'm here, I can do this, and I'm basically free, you know? And I've only just touched the iceberg as far as I'm concerned. I have a lot of things, a lot more I like to talk about, but it'll come as time goes on. And thank heavens my audience has grown as well. So that is, to me, a pure indication. Even though I've said it's only 2,000 listeners, that doesn't matter. I have people listening to me, and I'm always asking for comments, whether it be good or bad. Lucky for me, I haven't really had any bad comments other than technical issues where people might have been a little bit ticked off or been disappointed that they weren't able to actually listen to it all the way through because either it would be technical difficulties on my end or through my host. But typically it's been through my end, not through my host. And I pretty much worked out all the bugs, and you know, I'm working on a what you call a skeleton skeleton budget. I'm not working in a what you call a class one studio, like a radio studio. That's not it. I'm just a guy who cares, who wants to talk about childhood sexual abuse. And I'm just doing it from a computer in a little room in a beautiful old house. And to me, if I can do it that way, then to me, that's good enough. I don't need all the fancy bells and whistles. As long as I can get my point out there and I can exercise my voice to the level that I am, that makes me happy. And if somebody gets something out of it, even if it's one person, to me, that's all that really matters. It's like when I'm doing, when I'm involved with a group, with another co-facilitator. You know, if all those guys or all those guys and gals, if one or two people get something out of it and they move forward, then I've done something right. I mean, what more can I ask? I mean, like I say, I'm not a therapist. All I'm doing is giving them some guidance on some steps they can to make some changes for themselves. It's all about self-help, remember. It's self-help. It's not about me telling you what to do or you telling me what to do or anything of the sort like that. It's about self-help. And sometimes helping yourself is not an easy task. Never mind having the balls enough to ask someone to help you, but to do it yourself sometimes that takes just as much balls, if not a whole lot more, because it's that once that fear sets in, then that really changes the dynamics of everything in regards to whether you're going to pursue this to try to change this for yourself, or you're going to sit there and take it and make yourself sick over it. And that's basically what could happen if you don't you don't make those changes to try to change your outlook on yourself and in life. Then you'll end up staying stuck, and which I've talked about lots of times. Here's one thing I've talked about lots of times about being stuck. Well, being stuck in something, well, what we call false beliefs, you know. And a lot of times, I know for myself speaking, a lot of things that I've been stuck on in the past has been just from false beliefs. And, you know, through hard work and determination, I've been able to change some of those things about myself, which has basically allowed me to be here and sit here and talk about it here tonight, and any other night I will talk about it. And I feel no shame whatsoever. And I'm very proud that I can even say that. I mean, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have said that. But now I can sit here and actually say, yeah, well, I don't have a wall. Yes, I still have some fear sometimes, but I sure as heck do not carry any shame in regard to this topic whatsoever. I'll talk about it at whatever level is necessary, not only whether it be to get my point across or to share an experience of something I went through to change myself to bring me to where I am now. And to me, when I talk about radio and multimedia, all these things I think are very important. Because when it comes to self-help, well, what happens to these people, for example, that are in outlying areas? Well, yes, they have internet access, but they don't have access to, well, even peer support like here at the Gatehouse. They may not have access to either anybody in the such as mental health workers, whether they be a therapist or psychiatrist, psychologist. They may not even have that resource where they are, whether you're so far remote. And you don't have the, they just don't have the resources like we have here in the big city, the big smoke. And other big centers globally as well, right? So multimedia has grown so much. There's so much out there in regards to helping yourself. I think it's very important, and I love that this stuff is out there, because I know even myself, like prior to coming here, I know I had a hard time even finding the gate. I remember I called Little Warriors out in Calgary, and that's Jill Furry's a gig that got going out there for other survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And for some reason, I couldn't find a gate. I think that was my own stupidity. Maybe I've seen it. It was on there, but I just didn't see it. Probably because that was the state of mind that I was, and I was just trying to find something because I wanted help. But anyway, luckily for me, they directed me to the Gatehouse. And I know that if you go online now, you Google it or whatever, you just go to Gatehouse. Well, I know if you Google Gatehouse, you're going to find different things. But if you Google Gatehouse Toronto, I know when you are on the web and you're trying to find something, a lot of times you need to be really, really specific. Like if you're, for example, if you were to go on there and you're to type in childhood sex abuse recovery, and you go to Toronto, for example, you're to do that. Then you would then if the Gatehouse would come up, for example. There might be other places to come up, like CAMH, and whether it be other therapists get offering the same services as well. But there is other resources as well. But I'm just giving you an example of using the media as a form of finding a way to get some sort of therapy for yourself or some sort of help for yourself. So there's many, many different things you can go, places you can go, but that's the beauty of the internet. You can find this stuff, and for the most part, it doesn't cost you anything. I mean, granted, there is some. I've noticed through Twitter and Facebook, for example, if you want to pay a therapist through PayPal or something like that, you can do that as well. I would really want to do some research prior to pulling out your credit card and giving your information over the phone. Whether, I would want to check this person out first, long before you before you pay this person, so you know how they qualify, how are they qualified? Where do they have their qualifications from? Do they have any references, for example? There's lots of things you might want to check out before giving them that, giving your credit card number to PayPal. In order to pay for this. Now, I think it's still great that they have these services there, but you still need to pay due diligence in regards to not being ripped off. and that's never a fun experience at all, whether it's trying to find a therapist online or trying to buy a spare tire for your car, realizing that you've been ripped off. So doing your research is very, very key in regards to trying to find who you're going to trust with helping you help yourself. So, if you have the ability and you can go and do it, then please, I would really highly recommend that you do it. As soon as you get a little bit of secure. I have a tendency when I talk a lot, which I seem to do when I'm here, is that the throat gets a little dry. So, but nevertheless. But anyway, so that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about. Granted, I don't know how many minutes I've been on here now. Okay, I've talked 20 minutes. Granted, when I go to the conference, I'm only going to have about 10 or 15 minutes. So I'm going to have to talk about what I talked about, in a much shorter brief of time. And what I'm going to do when I talk about stuff that I'm talking about, I'm going to abbreviate it and go right to the point so that I can make sure that the audience that's going to be there gets my point and hopefully they take what I offer or what I'm saying to them, and maybe it might help them or are offered to somebody else and they get something out of it. But point being is, I could probably talk about this for a couple of hours because there's a lot of things that kind of relate to this regarding different places you can go on the internet. I don't, thank God I don't have a list here in front of me of all these different places you can go, but trust me when I say that when you go to Twitter, oh my gosh, go to Twitter or to Facebook, that when I talk about resources, as I've talked about, they are there. And I love it. For example, when I talked about Rachel Thompson, Bobby Parrish and Athena Moberg for sexual abuse chat, I have to say it's helped me even too to a certain degree as well. I mean, granted, a lot of the stuff I do as part of my recovery is concerned. A lot of it, as I've stated before, is about being repetitive. So changing those thoughts. And the only way to do it that I've learned for myself is be repetitive. And talking with others, it's been the same deal with them as well. Yes, you can tell me that, yes, just because I feel like I'm a monster or I'm ugly or whatever, And deep down I know I'm not, but I say it and I actually believe it. And just because you tell me that to my face or to the group that you're not like that, well, yeah, I tend to agree with you, but why do I keep falling back and thinking that? Well, it's because I've believed it for so long. Just because you tell me that, yes, that is white, I'm still seeing black. You kind of get what I'm getting at here? So what I mean by being repetitive, that's what it's about. It's about being repetitive and you got to keep saying it over and over and over again. And that's what I had to do for myself, for pretty much everything to be where I am now. So let me move on now here a little bit. I've talked a little, enough about that, but let me talk about the guests now. And let me be very clear too. I don't think I'll be on here my full 2 hours tonight, but I'll be on here just a little. I'll be on here probably just over an hour. And I needed to talk about the things that I needed to talk about. Everything from the flood to the gatehouse that we had here, to the conference we have coming up, the partners group we have coming up. We have groups still going on. The house has not stopped. We're having a group still over at Humber College, just behind us here, at Lakeshore South Campus. So business as usual, it just means we're not doing it out of the house. So that's what's going on. These things needed to talk about, and none of that, but I've missed being here the last 3 weeks. I'm telling you. You know, the only place I can come here, and I can come on here, and I can talk for 2 hours. No interruptions other than myself. And, well, Paul's not here tonight, so he's not going to be bringing me coffee. We can't have coffee here anyway. We can't make coffee because our water's shut off. And I know tomorrow they'll have a better prognosis to what's going on here at the house in regards to fixing the problem. So looking forward to that. At least we'll have a better idea when we actually start bringing participants back in the house again, because to me, I don't know, I love the house. Going to Humber College is great. I love it, but it's not the same as coming to the gatehouse. And you would have to come here to appreciate what I'm talking about. And I really like the fact that you know, I come here, it's a beautiful, warm feeling when you come up these stairs. Granted, I didn't feel that when I first came here the first time. I was scared as hell and full of fear. Now I come here, and it's like, wow, I love coming here. You know, not just for the fact of what I'm doing, but there's such beautiful energy in this house. I mean, you'd have to come here to understand this house is 150-plus years of age, so it has a lot of character. It's like a Victorian-style home. If you go on to www.thegatehouse.org, and you will see right on the main page, you'll see a picture of the house. And it's beautiful. Like the windows, like for example, the windows facing north, because we're down here in the south. And the windows are facing north, facing on the lakeshore. You know, it's got these beautiful bay windows that stick out. And it's got so much character and beauty. And it's like a you know, it's a two-story home, and it's got a flat roof. Anyway, it's got lots of character, and the energy is great here. You know, I you know, this is also, you know, we do investigations here as well for children that have been violated, and the police come here and do their investigations. Granted, they're not able to do that here right now either because we're not having water. But you know, it's for some. I mean, it's very sad to see them come in here and do that, but at the same time, you know, there is a bright side that when they are ready to deal with it as an adult or even as a later on in life, they can come here and they can get help for what happened to them, and that to me is the only bright side to them having to come here as a child, is that they can come back here later on and they can actually talk to other people that have been through the same experience they have and help them through it. So to me, that's the only negative thing that really happens here, but it's not really negative. I mean, it's positive because it's going to give their parents some kind of closure. You deal with what happened to them, and granted, it didn't happen to them, and granted, I don't know that, but I'm just saying it as I'm wording it. But it's important that they have a place to come, and it's a safe place. You know, the kids can come here, and the police can do their investigation. It's not like an institution, like a police station. You know, the police are not even in uniforms. They come in plain clothes, and they're very, very good police officers. You know, I've met some of them that have come here, and I'm actually quite impressed with their well, forgive my the way I put this, but their bedside manner, and how they talk to these very, very, very personable people. You can engage in the conversation with them. Granted, when they come here, things being as they are, we could talk to police officers. The only thing we can't do when they do come here, we can't talk to the children and that sort of thing, which is totally understandable because they are conducting an investigation here. And if we do, and they children say anything, then we would be subject to being subpoenaed to go to court. And majority of us are not here to do that. I mean, we're here to help, and we give them a safe place to do the investigation. But and a safe place for when they want to come back, they can come here and get help for it. And Grant, I should also mention a little tidbit here, that there is, if you are a child, or if you have a child that's been sexually abused, there is help for children as well. It's just, children don't come to the house here, but there is another center in Toronto that does look after children and youth that have been through this experience, not just sexual abuse, but domestic violence as well, and many, many different forms of trauma. So they wouldn't have to, for example, I know CAMH does it, but there is other centers here, other center in the city that does it. And forgive me if the name slips now, but I will mention it in the future just to say that I have, and not only just to say that I have, but that it is important as well that people know that it's out there if you have a child that does need help with this experience. Okay, now I'm going to wing back to the conference. Like I said, I was going to be a little bit here and a little bit there, but I'm back to the conference. Like I say, it's the 6th annual Transforming Trauma into Triumph conference. It's basically a day. It'll be April 29th, and you can come in and register for 9 a.m., and it starts at 9:30 to 4, and it's going to be at the Toronto Police College at 70 Birmingham Street, Toronto, Ontario. Parking is free. Like I said, it's at the Toronto Police College. So the guests, for example, we have Jean-Paul Bedard, for example. He's our keynote speaker, and he's also been participant here at the house. Jean-Paul is a runner, and well, if you go into Twitter or even especially Facebook, if you were to type in Jean-Paul Bedard, you would find him, and you would see him. And he advocates for childhood sexual abuse, and that's what he runs for. He runs for money for the house and whatever else he may be raising money for. But I know he's raised a lot of money for the Gatehouse, and that should not be that should not be taken lightly. And actually, I'm very grateful that he's done that. And for example, a couple years ago, right after the bombing in Boston, the year after he went back, he did the Boston Marathon twice in one day. That was incredible. He raised, I think it was somewhere around $15,000 for the Gatehouse. That's phenomenal. That's fantastic. No? Jean-Paul, you're the best, man. You're the best. And I love what he's doing, how he's also an advocate for addiction. He was an alcoholic and a drug addict many, 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 many moons ago. And he often talks about his experiences with that and where it's brought him and why he basically became an addict, basically all related back to childhood sexual abuse. And he's very open about it. If you ever listen to him talk, hell, he's even had a picture. Remember back when we had our election, he was lucky enough to get a snapshot with our Prime Minister, Mr. Trudeau. I'm like, wow, good for him. But Jean-Paul has been on media quite a bit, and whether it be on CTV, CBC, some of the other national networks, I know he's been on as well. He's done lots and lots of interviews. He's a retired school teacher. He's very well educated, very well spoken. So I'm really looking forward to what Jean-Paul has to say at our conference coming up. Another gentleman, which I had a pleasure of meeting last year when we had our Transformative Justice Conference here at Humber College, which I've talked a little bit about it in the past as well. Steve Moivin is an author, and I believe a survivor as well. He will be speaking at the conference as well. And I was lucky enough to sit and talk with him here at the house when he was here last year. And very, very interesting gentleman. I'm really interested to hear what he has to say. And I have not read his book or any of his books. And like I say, I don't have his bio here in front of me. With things that have gone here, the information I do have about it is already packed in a box, so I don't have it here in front of me. But I swear next week I will have a complete list of the bios of all the participants that are going to be here at the Gatehouse. Now, I hope I pronounced his name correctly. Ardath Wanach, PhD, Steve Professor. Now, Ardath, I'm not too sure where this person's come from or what they're going to be. Obviously, I know what they're going to be talking about, but they're going to be talking about child abuse, whatever level, I'm not too sure. But like I say, when I get the bio next week, I'll talk about it a little bit more. And I cannot forget about these two lovely ladies. I had the honor of interviewing these ladies not about a month and a half or so ago. I'm talking about Jenny Stark and Trishika Relenker. They're founders of Andrew. And now they, I should point this out right now, if you go on the World Wide Web, again, I'm falling back to the media as well, most of the media are the World Wide Web. If you type, go to Google and you type in Andrew, and abuse never becomes us. That's what it means. And you go on there, and let me tell you a little bit more about them, because I interviewed them and I know a little bit more about what's going on with these two lovely ladies. Okay, Jenny. Well, Jenny, right off the hop, she is a facilitator here at the house. Trishika, well, she's an addiction counselor, I know that. But Jenny, for example, I met Jenny probably just over a year ago, and I really didn't really have a whole lot of conversation with her, but until I had the pleasure of interviewing the both of them on Personal Transformation Blog Talk Radio here, and that's where I really got a chance to know them. But basically, what they are doing. They came from Sri Lanka during the war, and basically they're survivors themselves as well. And so basically, what they're doing, this AMBU, what they're doing is they're giving support for Tamil or Sri Lankan people in their community is what I'm getting at. And also, like I say, Jenny, she also facilitates here as well. But anyway, this is what they do, and this is what Andrew does. Is they're supporting their community. Again, this is another, for example, country, for example, where childhood sexual abuse is never talked about at any level whatsoever at all, because it's so taboo. It's not talked about. And the fact that they're able to come over here, and if you go back and listen to the interview with both Jenny and Trishika, you'll see and listen and hear the trials and tribulations they had to get through to get to where they are now. And let me point this out as well. Both of them were shunned by their families just for talking about this and saying that they were abused. And they're basically alone. They've done everything. They've gone to college and university, and both of them have got degrees as well from university. And again, forgive me, I don't have their work here in front of me, and I remember only so much, but both of them are very, very smart women, and they've done an awful lot for their community, and they're very, very brave for being able to do what they're doing in their community. And in the Sri Lankan community, as I've said, it's taboo. You just don't talk about this stuff, and if you talk about this, that whether, well, never mind doing somebody, but that it's happened to you, a lot of times, and a lot of cultures, for example, like in this culture, for example, you would be shunned upon and basically shut out, shut down, and you wouldn't be allowed to talk about it, and your family would basically disown you, and so a lot of other people in the community. Well, a little bit different here in Canada, though. So the beauty of them coming here and making this home now is that now they can support people in their community, whether they like it or not, and they can exercise their voice, as I have, through the realms I've talked about, all the way through. Excuse me. And that's basically what they've done. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what they have to talk about as well. And again, if you go on to and you Google Andrew or A-N-D-U or Abuse Never Becomes Us, you will find their website, which is just they just published it. I think it was about 3 weeks ago or a month ago. At the time that I did the interview with Jenny and Trishika, it was not available, or rather, it was just basically in the making of being before being released. But now it is it's been released, and you can go on there and check out to see what they do. And of course, okay. Well, after Jenny and Trishika, it'll be me, which I've already talked about what I'm going to be talking about, and I cannot. Hold on 1 second here. The next person will be going on there after myself. To me, he is one of my mentors, Lloyd DeVoe. He is a Gatehouse support group facilitator, survivor. I've interviewed Lloyd as well. Lloyd is in his 70s, and he's very, very, very in your face, upfront about his experiences his experiences from the past to now, meaning that they can basically, you know, like if things are so different, is what I'm getting at. The way he was talking from the way he was a child to now, I'm telling you, is very, 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 very powerful as far as I'm concerned. And it just goes to show you how much times have changed. I think about how I was brought up. I'm in my middle 50s now, and I think about how I was brought up versus how children are brought up nowadays, right? And even my own daughter. My daughter, she's in her 30s, and she's gonna have my second grandchild sometime in May. So I think about the generations on how open and how open and transparent we're able to talk about things such as childhood sexual abuse. Like when I think about Lloyd's generation, for example, this is why I really look forward to hearing him speak, because when we did the radio interview, Lloyd talked about how when he was a child, even when he wasn't a child, like right into when he started having children himself, for example, and he's got children that are a little bit older than even my one child, and where this stuff was never talked about. And he talked about how uncomfortable he felt, like even being around his own children. Well, hell, I was even the same. I could relate so well to him talking about that, having a child myself. And even, I mean, I was a single father raising a daughter, so you can imagine how I felt being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and being the way I was brought up, and then my experiences. So, you know, talk about trauma all over again, at many, many different ways. And then when I hear Lloyd talk about this, where he was through, and it was obviously I'm going to relate really, really well to it, but especially the way he was brought up, because I know his parents would have been a lot like mine, very, very old school, certain things were to be said, certain things were not to be said. So, to me, Lloyd going up there, being I don't even want to call him a teacher citizen because I don't want to insult him, but he is in his 70s, and he's lived life, you know, really lived life, and coming here and dealing with his abuse, which, by the way, let me point this out, the house was built, the house opened in 1998, well, Lloyd has been around here since 1998, so looking 18 years, Lloyd has been around, he's been a facilitator, he's been a facilitator for most of those 18 years. And he still gives 150% every time he comes here. He does the men's groups, and very insightful, and he worked very hard to be where he is. I mean, you know, we talk about teaching the old dogs new tricks. Well, you know what? It's not that easy sometimes. I mean, we want to change, but you know, it all falls back to these patterns that we were left with from our abuse. And just because I tell you, or I suggest you, it's not a question of me telling you, but I suggest you will you try this. Well, you try it and it doesn't work and you give up. Well, we need to keep telling ourselves, no, we keep trying and trying it over again until we finally get it, where it works, whatever level that may be. But it takes, as I've said time and time again, you need to be repetitive in order for it to actually, for you to get it or not get it. I mean, everybody's different, obviously, but I know for myself, that's what it was. And for Lloyd, as he talked about in our interview, I just realized here, I had somebody try to call me. David, I know you're trying to call me. Oh, sorry, I'm not taking any live calls. I need another person here to do this because I only have so many hands. And technically, as inclined as I claim to be and am, I'm not. So to be on the safe side, rather, so I don't disconnect myself off from being on there. But I really appreciate you did call, David. And trust me, in the future, as things come back together a little bit more here and settle down a bit, I will start taking calls in. But let me be very clear. Somebody calls in and wants to talk, which will be fine, but I will not be giving anybody advice, okay? I'm not a therapist. I'll offer some affirmation, or rather, I'll offer an experience that I've been through, but I'm not a therapist, so be very, very clear about that. I know David is calling, and thanks, David. I really appreciate you calling. I'd love to talk to you live on here sometime, and possibly we can arrange that, but thanks. I apologize for not answering. I did see it, but I couldn't answer it because I'm preoccupied here with what I'm doing, so I do please accept my apology. But back to what I'm talking about, Lloyd. Lloyd, like I say, he's been very inspirational for me, and he's been a mentor. And back to what I'm talking about, he's about saying you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I really, really, really disagree with that, because from my experiences through some of the gentlemen I've dealt with, and even some of the ladies, mostly gentlemen that I've dealt with coming through the house, and them being older than I am, and been through a lot more crap than I could ever talk about, and they can get through it, then to me, that is a pure sign that, you know what, no matter what excuse I may want to put upon myself, to anybody, saying that I can't do it is a lot of BS, you know. And I will, you know, whenever he comes and he's doing a group, I know that I would love to do a group with him sometime. And hopefully I'm fortunate enough to get that opportunity, a men's group with him, because he's really good at what he does. He's insightful. He's got lots of good experience. And I know all the groups that he's done, the guys love him. The guys just love him. And it's always an honor to be around him, you know. But anyway, so he will be our last guest at the conference. And I'm really, really looking forward to what Lloyd has to say. And back to the point about not teaching, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. That's a BS. Because this gentleman, when he talks, you'll be listening and you'll see that whatever excuse you may have to try to not change something about yourself, to try to better yourself from wherever you may be coming from, is not impossible. It is all possible. So please take me in my word when I talk about Lloyd. And if you're able to come to the conference, I would really, really recommend that you pay close attention to this gentleman when you speak, because he is full of wisdom and he has lots to offer. So that is our conference. Again, I'll talk about it a little bit more next week. I think there is a couple of things I didn't want to talk about. Hopefully I get to it tonight. I can't believe an hour has already passed. And probably another 2 hours just to keep going. But anyway, I'll do what I can do. And now I'm going to move on to something else. I talked about the partners that's coming up. And I talked a little bit briefly about what it's about, what we do, which I kind of talked about in the beginning in regards to the conference, because I'm going to be talking about it a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to that coming up this Saturday. We have a good group of people that are going to be coming, and wherever they may be coming from, both participants from the house and non. So it'll be a good day. I'm grateful that I have Maria as a co-facilitator as well, and I have Jason, and I have his wife as well, Caroline, which really, really grateful that the four of us are going to be there, and it's great. I really look forward to doing this, and hopefully the group that I'm with, or when we split up, that they get something out of what I have to say from my experiences, not just as a survivor, but just not only as a survivor, but also in my recovery, in my changes, in being very, very self-aware of my changes that I can pass on to them, especially with the non-survivor, which I hope I'll be talking with, the group I'll be talking with for these non-survivors. Hopefully that they'll get something out of what I have to say in regards to understanding the recovery of their friend or partner, wherever they might be coming, or wherever they're involved with at that time. So there's a couple of other things I think I need to chit-chat a little bit about as well, which I think I should throw in here as well. Now, we have an art therapy program as well that's running out of the house here as well. We've had to move that over to the Humber College as well. And I'm really, really looking forward to this. And I'm really looking forward to talking about this at some level. And I'm really looking forward to actually sharing it on Twitter with Rachel, Bobby, and Athena in regards to I've always wanted to do the art therapy, and I'm finally going to get a chance to do it, to be as a participant, not as... I'm not going to be co-facilitating. I actually get to participate and it's going to get, and it gets to be, and I get to work on me. So to me, that is going to be really, really fantastic. And we're looking forward to the 12-week program. And as far as what I'm doing at the house here is concerned, the men's phase one group I was doing is finished. I'm doing a phase two group now with Maria, and we're almost finished that as well. And I'm kind of excited about this art therapy program that I'm going to be doing. Like I say, it's 12 weeks, and I've heard lots of great things about it. I'm really looking forward to being with Lacey, and I'm not sure who her co-facilitator will be. It might be Pearl. I'm not 100% sure. But if you want to know a little bit more about what I'm talking about, if you go on to Twitter, again, back to multimedia again, if you go back to Twitter or to Facebook and you type in Full Circle, Full Circle Art, I stand corrected if I'm wrong, but go on there and you will find them on there, and they do art therapy, and I won't talk a lot about what's involved in doing that, because I know I interviewed both Lacey and Pearl probably about a year and a bit ago, and I had some technical issues, and I wasn't able to really get it out. So Lacey has agreed to come back now that I've pretty much got all these bugs out, and she's agreed to come back. I don't know if Pearl will come back, but I definitely am going to have Lacey come back on a Thursday. I don't want to pre-record. I want to do it live, and we're going to talk all about the art therapy program, especially when I don't know if it'll be now or sometime in May, but I would say probably between now and May, Lacey will be coming in here, and we'll talk about it completely. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. What's involved? What kind of things are we going to do, for example, to get you thinking about whatever? Well, okay, you know how I talk about at the house, we have structure. So we have, like every night when we come in here, we have something we talk about. So basically, it's kind of the same thing. That's the only difference is you're doing it with your hands, and you're expressing yourself with your hands. And of course, you're talking about it as well, of course, because still, you get to put your thoughts and your feelings in your hands, and you're going to create something regarding whatever topic you're going to be talking about that night. And I'm really, really looking forward to that, because I consider myself to be somewhat artistic, if I can put it in that manner. And I know that I love art in all different ways, not just with painting and charcoal and pastels, and I just love artsy stuff. I have an airbrush, so I've done work in the past. Just these last years, I just haven't had the time, and not so much I've lost interest. I just haven't had the time. But I know that probably after I'm done with this art therapy program, I can see myself going back into it again, and I really, really like. What I used to do a lot of is I used to do a lot of motorcycle painting, like gas tanks and fenders and stuff like that, and I would do some artwork. Well, now I'm really looking forward to going back and doing this. Now, when I do this, I know that I'm going to be, again, it's going to take me to another level. I have no idea. So I'm really, really excited to see what I get out of this. And I know that I still have stuff, you know, is this going to be, I have stuff that's still bottled up inside me. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm healed. I mean, I'm not completely healed. I'll never say I'm healed. I'm a work in progress, as I've always said. So, to me, this what I'm going to go dive into now. I'm going to dive into something that I know I have some blockage still. And by going in there with Lacey and Pearl, if it is Pearl, that they're going to help me with this. They're going to help me with some things that I still have blocked up. That I have a wall or blocked up, whatever way you want to put it. So to me, this will be very beneficial for myself. And again, it falls back to that lovely term of self-help, because I'll be the one that's doing it. I'll be the one that's talking about it. They're going to point me in a direction, and along with the other participants, and we're going to do something, whether it's draw or I have no idea, you know, and I can't assume to even begin to think what it would be, but I have an idea anyway. So, to me, I'm very excited. It's going to be allowing me to express myself in a way that I never thought possible, because I can express myself, and sometimes that's really, really hard to do that. But I know deep down, I have something else that's still, you know, pardon the pun the way I put this, but something that's stewing around in there inside me that I still need to work on. And by doing so, it'll help me grow even more. You know, I'm a very open and raw person for the most part. A lot of stuff, but there's still some things I'd be lying to say that, yes, I still struggle with. And to me, I'm really, 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 really looking forward to going and partaking in this as a participant. And it's going to be nice to go there and to see what I get out of this and see how it'll help me in some ways. Because like I say, I know I've got something going on. I still have some things going on. And I'm sure that when I go there, I'll be able to sort that out. And it'll help me with my creativity. I mean, I consider myself to be a pretty creative person to begin with in a lot of aspects. But I think I can go on a much deeper level if I can get some help. And this is where Pearl and Lacey are going to help me with this. So when I talk about it, I'm looking forward to it and excited. Well, I'm like a little kid, man. I'm telling you. I'm like a little kid. I want to go, and I want to get whatever I can take out of this. And if it helps me grow at a greater level than I'm doing now, maybe this is the next thing. I don't know. I have no idea. And I won't even begin to try to assume or think or anything of the sort. I just want to embrace it with its full potential where, again, it will help me. And, again, it's about self-help, right? I'm helping myself. I'm taking it upon myself. I'm coming here. Lucky for me, we offer this kind of service, service to the house. And grateful that Full Circle is here to help us with that. So that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to interviewing Lacey, and hopefully Pearl comes in as well. But that will be sometime between now and May. And the fact is, when I talk to Pearl next, rather to Lacey, I should say, it won't be obviously this week, but next week, I'm going to ask her to commit a date. And then maybe by next week when I come back, unless there's a real problem, that technical issue or whatever, that I can't come back. But I'm 99.9% sure I'll be back next week. And I'll talk about it a little bit more. And that being the thing I'll be talking about, the air therapy in regards to me going there, and maybe I'll get a little bit of an idea of what's going on so I can tell you out there what exactly I'm going to be doing and pass it on to you, and maybe you get something out of it. I'll make sure that when I come back next week that I have a little bit better descriptive or bios of the people I've talked about. I've kind of told you, but I think I could have told you a little bit more. But maybe by saying this, you'll come back next week and tune in to me next week, and I'll give you a better description of the guests we have coming to the conference on April 29th. So, I'm wondering what else am I forgetting that I can throw out there that I'm forgetting. I know we just had passed up at the Maple Leaf restaurant. We just did another gig where we had a blues band going in there, and forgive me, I don't have information. I know that was a success. A lot of good talking about when I don't even know what I'm talking about. But you know what, folks? I think I'm pretty much done. I wanted to touch on these things. There's a couple of personal things I would like to talk about, but regards to relationship a little bit more, but I think I'll leave that for another time. It's important, but it's not important. So multimedia has been kind of the key thing I've been talking about tonight. I haven't really talked a whole lot about childhood sexual abuse other than that we do it here at the house. We have the conference coming up. We have the partners group coming up. That's what we do here at the Gay House. We give peer support for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And next week, I'll do that. And I'll have something a little bit more structured to what I'm going to talk about. And I think what I'm going to talk about next week on a little bit more of a level, I'd like to talk about, relationships. And what I mean by that, it doesn't have to be intimate. It doesn't have to be, I mean, it could be anything, right? And it's about some of the things I struggle with when it comes to that. And trust being one of the things, Well, trust is a huge, huge thing, and still with me, even to this day, I've talked about this countless times in the past. Well, trust, you know, what does trust mean to you, or what does it mean to me? Well, I think that would be a really good topic to talk about, so I think next week, when I come back, Obviously, I'm going to talk about the things that I've mentioned, but I'm going to talk about trust. I want to talk about boundaries. And I want to, well, it's still sits very raw with me, those two things, as far as my boundaries are concerned, and trust to what I will do and what I won't do. And, you know, I mean, at one point I probably had rigid boundaries. I certainly don't have that anymore, that's for sure. I'm very, very, very committed to what boundaries I've set and what I will take, what I won't take anymore. And trust sort of falls in along that line as well. So I think I need to have this conversation on not only kind of what we do here at the house in regards to that, but what we do, but I need to talk a little bit more about that and what I understand what it means to me. And hopefully you out there will get something out of that. And maybe you'll come to a better understanding when I'm done speaking about it. But I'm going to talk about it at a much greater level. And I really, really hope you tune in next week. And we'll talk about trust, and we're going to talk about boundaries. Since they're so closely knit, I mean, I could just talk about boundaries, which I've done before. And I could also talk about trust. But I'm going to twist a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit more about, emphasize more on relationship side of it. I mean, it doesn't have to be intimate either. It can be just friendship as well. It doesn't always have to be about having that significant other. But I want to talk about how that has affected me and how certain things will happen to me, and I'll put up a wall or I won't put up a wall, or we'll all be open and I'll trust, and then things happen and then things change. Well, I'm kind of going to go a little bit here, a little bit there, in regards to those two words, the boundaries and trust. And I really, really do hope you tune in, and I really hope you get something out of it. Now, a lot of you survivors will definitely understand what I'm talking about, because I know it's always a topic of conversation around the house here. So we talk about boundaries, we talk about trust. So I can carry it a long way in regards to what it means to me and what I've heard it means to others, for example, and how I'm able to, I'll talk about how I'm able to put it out there, or how I'm able to trust, or how I'm able to apply my boundaries on whatever level that I do in regards to certain things. So I'll talk about that to whatever level that I'll allow myself, which probably means I'll probably just let it all out, which is fine too, because this way at least you'll get an understanding. Well, this is how I dealt with it, and this is what I'm doing. And you'll either agree or disagree with what I'm said or doing in regards to myself. But what I've done has worked for me, and I may have a few other examples of others that might have done for themselves to try to change that, so they can trust a little bit more, and also can set better, safer boundaries for themselves, so that when trust does come in, it has a better, so the trust and the boundaries sort of blend together a little bit better. So they meet a little bit better, so they're on a much happier level together. And so you're happy with yourself, and you don't have these other things to get stressed out over. And hopefully it'll help. I know the things that I've done for myself have helped quite a bit, but I'm still working on a lot of, I'm still working on some things, but at least I can talk about it at a level that I'm not ashamed to talk about it whatsoever, whether it be the good things or the bad things, and maybe you'll get something out of it. So, folks, I think I'll leave it at that. I really hope you got something out of tonight in regards to what we're doing here at the house as far as the partners program is concerned, the conference is coming up. If you're in the Toronto area, like I say, or outside Toronto area, greater Toronto area, April 29th, there is a cost involved, a few hundred dollars, but if there is some issues in regards to money, I suggest you speak with Maria or Paula, and maybe they can make some more arrangements, but that's not for you to decide. I'm only just pointing it out there to you, and there will be refreshments. There'll be like refreshments, morning coffee, serve stuff, lunch will be served. It will be, registration starts at 9 a.m. and it starts promptly at 9:30 and finishes at 4 And Art Lockhart will be the center stage. He's the one that will be introducing everybody. And it's his baby. I always love seeing Art. He's speaking of mentors, as aside from Lloyd, he is my guru. Like, I mean, if you don't listen, Art I've interviewed a couple times too, and if it wasn't for Art and what he's done here, I certainly wouldn't be sitting here right now. I mean, granted, I had to do the work to do it, but he put it together. He put his beliefs in. He found this old house I've talked about, this beautiful old house. He had a bunch of people come in. He helped him fix it up, making it look like it is. And since 1998, he's been open, and he's helped literally hundreds or thousands of people come through this house that have been to the same experience that I've been talking about. And to me, wow, that's just a big, big, big wow. And I'm being very, very gentle on my words, but nevertheless, I owe a lot to Art and the Gatehouse. And as far as I'm concerned, for the day I die, I'll never be able to repay back what I got from here, as far as I'm concerned. Regardless of how much time I may volunteer or think or whatever, I'll still never be able to give back what was given to me from the other facilitators and Art, and giving me hope, which I never had before, and which I'm grateful for. And pretty much every day I pay gratitude towards the fact that I've had this put upon me. And then all the things that fell on top of that as well, like me doing this radio show, and many other things, like stuff that to me, you just can't sweep under the carpet. To me, I need to talk about it. People need to know. So folks, thank you for your time. I'll see you next week for sure, unless something stupid happens, which it's not going to happen. I can't assume something like that, but on a positive note, I'll be here next week. And I'll be talking, as I said, trust boundaries, the conference a little bit more, and what happened in the partners group. And be very clear, too, when I talk about what happened in the partners group, it'll only be the stuff we're talking about. It'll never be about participants. I'll never put any names, never any names, anything like that. And again, we're offering this all at a peer level. So, folks, have a great night. Have a great weekend. Well, I know here where I'm living right now, it's still kind of winter, even though we are already the 14th of April. And it's like, if you're in the Celsius, it's like minus two tonight. I live up a little bit north from here, and it's last night when I was on, when I came back down to the city, it was minus 10, less this morning. That's pretty cold. That's like below zero Fahrenheit if you're not in the Celsius, but it's still winter here. And I know by the weekend they're calling for very, very warm temperatures, and I'm kind of hoping to get to I got to get on my motorcycle, man. I have been trying to do this for a while, and just haven't had the time, because we haven't had that hard of a winter. I see all these guys on the motorcycles, it's driving me nuts. I got to get out. So Saturday I'm doing the partners group, and then Sunday it's supposed to be 18 degrees and sunny, and to me that's very warm. It's certainly better than minus 10, minus 5, anything minus. It's much better. So really, really looking forward to it. So folks, take care of yourselves. Thank you for your time. Remember, take care of yourselves. It's wonderful being here. I'm grateful to the Gatehouse. I'm located at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard, west of Toronto. Old Etobicoke, as I always say, you can call the 255-5900. Speak to anyone on the staff if you're interested in coming to the conference, or if you just want some help in regard for resources, wherever you may be coming from, where you might need help in regards to childhood sexual abuse. And have a great week, and thank you for your time. Good night.